Good morning, Power Hour Nation. So good to be with you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. I'm your honored host, Daniel Bergman. As always, thepowerhour.com, thepowermall.com are our two websites. This financial stuff is really interesting to me because it's interwoven. It's interwoven with everything that we discuss, and that's kind of one of the huge signs, one of the huge pillars of our life, really. Whether we want to believe it or not, the dollar bill, the almighty dollar, has a lot to do with what your life here is in the United States. And they've used it as a mirage. They've used it, you know, what have you. You understand the value of a dollar in 1913. A dollar was about an ounce of silver, and $20 was about an ounce of gold. Well, this morning, from $20 in 1913, from $20 to today, do you know what gold hit this morning, Kev?
I'll take a guess. 2025.
Okay, it has never hit in 2000 before, until, you know, just like the other day, or yesterday.
Yeah.
Today, it didn't, you know, people thought it was going to pull back, whatever. No, it's at 2052 today.
Blew past it.
Silver, last time we talked, was at the 25, a little over 25 mark. It didn't reach 26. It reached 27.
Yeah, blew past the 26, too.
And so what is this saying? What does this mean? Does it mean, you know, you may be sitting at home thinking, well, that means nothing to me. It does mean something to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's, or let's put it this way, it's saying something to you. I don't know if it means anything to you. Hopefully after the show, it does. It's saying something to you. The other part of this is cryptocurrencies. We had Crypto J on a couple weeks ago. We've had other people to mention cryptos, Joseph Meyer. How accurate has Joseph Meyer been here?
He's been right on.
Oh my gosh. I mean, straightmoneyanalysis.com. You ought to find Joseph and sign up. And for nothing else, you pay the money just to be able to talk to him.
Yeah, exactly.
To advise your 401k. If you think, well, I just have a 401k and know nothing. Okay, then have him advise you. You know, if that's something you're looking for, highly recommend Joseph.
Yeah, there's all sorts of economists saying get out of 401ks because you're not going to have them anymore.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
you can put them in gold and silver.
Yes, you can put them in things that you would feel safer about. Or whatever.
Yes.
The Crypto J is going to be on today. So we're going to talk about cryptocurrencies. And you think, well, cryptocurrencies, I don't like them. That's the banker's money or that's the devil. It's going to be. Yes, it could be all those things. But so is the, you know, 1913, you could say the same thing about the Federal Reserve note. You say the exact same thing.
Yes.
Well, this is, yeah, you're right. But it's both. How is it going to be used? Either way, I feel it's extremely important that you understand this. And so he'll have questions. You can call in and ask him whatever you want. And we'll go over the gold, silver, kind of what he sees. Crypto J is connected. I mean,
yes.
He knows some people and high in the banking industry. And like he says, they're not always 100% right. They don't always get what they want or what they're, but he can tell you what he's been told and he can tell you what, you know, what it looks at, what it means for him. So,
mm-hmm. And what he's doing.
Right, what he's doing. So,
yeah, you know, he does what he says, not like a lot of these guys.
So stick around for that. We're going to do news and then Crypto J in less than 30 minutes now. Did we ever figure out what that bomb in Beirut or that explosion in
Beirut? I've heard two different things. I heard it was a warehouse for ammonium nitrate.
Okay.
2,750 tons of it. And then the second one I heard it was a rocket factory, built rockets.
Are we hearing anything that this was somebody foreign blew it up, like the Jews, like
no,
Israel?
No. And I saw the video. I watched it 15 times. And you know how like you can see a rocket coming in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see any.
So there's no talk that, you know, Mossad put a bomb in the plant.
Well, they could have drove a bomb in.
Right, they could have done it. I mean, anything
I didn't
like
see,
that could happen.
You know, I didn't see.
So right now, nobody's saying.
Yeah, I haven't heard it.
We were on the show yesterday when that broke, and I'm still trying to make sense of it. And I've heard different things, and I don't want to.
Did you see how big that explosion was?
Well, that's what I mean.
Huge.
I don't things 3. Like that.
3.5 on the Richter scale.
Things like that just don't happen by coincidence.
No, they don't.
I mean, that's an awful big coincidence to say that's an accident.
And that's an awful big explosion.
What does it mean?
Don't know.
I don't know either.
Nobody can.
Is it a warning shot across the bow to Lebanon?
Could be.
Is it a warning shot to Iran?
Well, if it was rockets, boy, it was really a warning shot. You know, warning shot. You know, if it was ammonium nitrate, you know, it just could have been an accident. You know.
I find it hard to believe it's an accident right in the...
me too.
I mean, that, you know, I don't know, have to know anything about it. You say, oh, that's an accident.
Nah.
I doubt it.
I agree there.
I doubt it. I could be wrong. I just doubt it. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. All right, let's go to some world news. Thailand's police say protest leaders violate coronavirus emergency law. So yesterday we talked about Germany. 1.3 million people in the street. Very good news.
Excellent.
There's been video out of Serbia where, you know, Serbians are throwing stuff at the police. And, I mean, they're sick of all this lockdown and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Thailand says, well, they're violating the emergency law, so they're going to be arrested. They're going to stop protests before it gets started.
That Thailand, they can be really nasty.
Here's an article about the bombing we just mentioned. Inside Beirut's Ground Zero, astonishing images reveal the scale of devastation in the Lebanese capital after a mega explosion ripped through the city and left 300,000 homeless.
This is huge, huge bomb. Well, 3.4 on the Richter scale. A bomb.
These astonishing images show the scale of destruction. Rescuers worked throughout the night and into this morning, scouring Ground Zero for survivors after the cataclysmic blast that has wrecked entire neighborhoods in the Lebanese capital. The scale of the destruction was such that the capital resembled the scene of an earthquake, with thousands of people left homeless as smoke rose from fires still burning. You know, nobody has the blast in the country already in the midst of an economic crisis appears to have been caused by a fire igniting 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate left unsecured in a warehouse. And was felt as far away as Cyprus.
Oh, I could see that.
Cyprus. Yeah. 115 miles away in Cyprus.
Yeah.
It is stuff. You know, that when I hear stories like that, that reminds me of the big earthquake in, was it 1812, 1811? I don't know. 1812 or 1811.
Here in Missouri?
In Missouri.
That rang the bell in Pennsylvania.
Boston.
Oh, Boston.
There was an earthquake in Missouri.
Yeah.
The Mississippi River ran backwards for 3 days.
Yeah, I know.
And it rang the bell in Boston. So you think, oh, that sounds ludicrous. Well, in 1812,
it did.
It rang a bell in, you know, that's how many miles are we from Boston? Got to be 1,000 as the crow flies,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, it has to be.
It is thought to have been sparked when a welder caused a fire at the port, which in turn set alight to a warehouse storing chemicals which had been seized from a ship 6 years ago.
Here's what I did see. I saw fire, like a flash fire, to the left of the view I was looking to the building,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, bam. Boom.
I hope this is an accident.
Yeah.
You know, I hope that this was just a tragic mistake. Is what kind of world we live in when that's the best case scenario? Let's hope it was a tragic accident.
And I saw it from 13 different cameras. You know, somebody put a montage of 13 different cameras all around the city together.
Yeah.
Where, you know, debris is blowing down the street at, 150 miles an hour, you know. And
U.S. And
buildings collapsing.
U.S. defense officials contradict Trump. No indication yet of an attack in Beirut. Three U.S. Defense Department officials told CNN that as of last night, there was no indication that the massive explosion that rocked Beirut was a, quote, attack, contradicting an earlier claim from President Donald Trump. I don't know why Trump came out and said that. I mean, why is
Unless
he saying
he knew
that?
Something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Somebody's in his ear making him look like a fool.
Could be.
Or it's true.
Or it's true.
While speaking to reporters at the White House on Tuesday, Trump offered sympathy and assistance to the people of Lebanon after the explosion with left dozens of dead. Blah, blah, blah. As of last night, at least 78 people reported killed, 4,000 injured. Wow, that's a lot.
That's a big, big explosion.
Let me begin by sending America's deepest condolences and sympathies. But the defense officials who declined to be identified so they could speak freely said they didn't know what the president knew. They did not know what the president knew.
He opened up a can of worms by saying that.
Well, I don't...
He shouldn't have said anything unless he knew something.
Well, somebody in his ear trying to make him look bad.
Yeah, could be.
You know, saying, oh, this was attacked by, you know, Iran or Israel or whatever. Say something. Did the, quote, mushroom cloud explosion in Beirut just push the Middle East closer to a major war? That's the first question I had. Michael Snyder asks from Economic Collapse blog.
It's a good question.
2020 just keeps getting weirder. Yeah, I mean, weird, that's a good way to describe this. At the very least, this is weird. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, this is either nothing on the geopolitical scale or this is really, really something.
Yes.
And I don't know which.
Me neither.
Donald Trump came out initially said it was something.
He did. The first thing I thought was, a rocket attack on it, you know?
It is being called Beirut's Hiroshima, and the blast was heard as far away as Cyprus. You can watch a two-minute compilation, blah, blah, blah. Two enormous explosions devastated Beirut's port. The second blasted an enormous orange fireball into the sky, flattening the harborside, and drove a tornado-like shockwave through the city,
yeah,
shattering windows kilometers, miles away. It's been reported that Beirut's port is, quote, totally destroyed. Hey, this is when you start having questions. Right?
Mm-hmm.
When you see the results and you're like, accidental blast, the whole port is gone for Beirut. They have can't land a ship, no shipping.
Yeah.
They're already in the middle of an economic disaster.
Yeah.
So now are you trying to make them desperate? So now they're going to be forced? What?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you start putting this together and you start having questions. There are usually no coincidences on things like this level.
No, there is not.
In recent months, we have become accustomed to hearing about mystery explosions all over the Middle East. Very good point, Michael.
Yeah.
Very good. We haven't had Michael on in a while.
We should have Michael on.
And many believe that those mystery explosions indicate that the region is on the brink of full-blown war. Iran, we've seen explosions in Iran.
Uh-huh.
We've seen explosions now in Beirut, mm-hmm. Other places. The Jews are always having some kind of...
they're stirring something up somewhere.
Always, you know, the West Bank and all. There's always something going on.
Yeah.
Some...
Mossads everywhere.
Yeah, some Roman candle goes across the thing. Mm-hmm. So, what does this all mean?
I ain't got a clue.
I don't know. Even Beirut Governor Abood brought up Hiroshima and Nagasaki when asked about the explosion. This reminds me of what happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Why were you there? I don't know. I mean, how's it compare?
He saw the pictures.
I have never seen such widespread destruction. This is a national catastrophe. This is a disaster for Lebanon. We're already living through days where we can barely keep going, and now this.
Well, 2,700 tons of explosives is a lot of explosives.
Well, their economy was in a bad state already.
Mm-hmm.
And this just makes them more desperate, and the port being gone makes them doubly desperate.
Yeah, double vulnerable.
Immediately after this happened, a lot of people began wondering if this was an Israeli attack. Yeah, that's my ding, ding, ding. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder why. We just all had the same thought at the same time.
We did.
But that does not appear to be the case. Okay, maybe it's not. I hope it's not.
Yeah.
I hope this is just some freak accident.
Yeah, like I said, I looked 10 times to look for a rocket. I didn't see it.
That doesn't mean anything.
You know, but usually a lot of times you can see it.
Australian Prime Minister, war between America and China no longer inconceivable.
We've been talking about that for the last 10 years.
Yeah, where have they been?
Yeah.
Australia's Prime Minister, Scott Morrison. I guess he's all locked up over there in Melbourne and, you know, he's got too much time on his hands. So he wants to deflect. So he wants to talk about war between China and America.
I bet your Monopoly games are all off the shelves over there.
The Prime Minister said today his government held like he is the government. And these people's attitude is just... Anyway, they held a less dramatic view of U.S.-China strategic tensions than a predecessor who warned of a potential hot war before U.S. presidential elections in November. Former Prime Minister and China scholar Kevin Rudd wrote in the Foreign Affairs Journal this week that the risk of armed conflict between the United States and China in the next 3 months was especially high. I find that ridiculous.
That's what I do. Just one of those submarines we have could wipe out every city in China. That's 100 miles off the.
He had no answer for how China's push for power in the South China Sea, on the Indian border, and in Hong Kong should be handled. Okay, so from his perspective, he's almost hoping America comes in because China's pushing anything they can touch.
Oh boy,
they want to take it.
They sure do.
I'm an optimist. Australians are indefatigable. This is his word. Who talks like this? Was he playing Scrabble? Indefatigable. Australians are indefatigable.
Is that a word?
They can't be fatigued. We have to go get the thesaurus out here. He couldn't say eternal optimists. Australians are indefatigable optimists about these things. We have to take an optimistic attitude. Well, you don't sound very optimistic.
No, he doesn't.
But not an unrealistic or naive attitude. Okay. All right, let's move on. I'm tired of hearing about anything Australia. They locked
everybody down.
Two people a week are dying, and the whole city's got to go down.
Yeah, the whole thing.
They're locking the whole city down.
5 million. Melbourne, I think.
I wonder, like, what kind of deaths happen? What kind of freak deaths happen where one or two people in a major city die? I mean, that would be an interesting list. Like, two people died last week in New York from their cat scratch. You know,
falling down the steps.
Falling down the steps, or
we gotta lock the whole thing down. Check every step in the place.
In the bathroom, they slipped on the tile. Bathrooms are outlawed now. Exactly. You can't go in the bathroom. You can only go in the bathroom 10 minutes a day under supervision.
Yeah.
Under government supervision, they have to watch you naked.
Yeah.
That would be Cuomo in New York.
He's a sick pup.
Well, jeez. I don't know. Never mind. Let's move on. L.A. deputies accused of being in secret societies. I have told you this.
Of course they are.
I have told you this for years.
Yes.
The L.A. police departments, they say, who is the biggest gang in L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
They are. They openly will say this.
That's exactly right.
You know, I believe me, I'm not sticking up for Rodney King or sticking up for O.J. Simpson. Believe me, I'm not doing that. But all that sentiment, everything that happened after that was entirely the L.A. Police Department's own fault.
Yeah.
They fomented all of that.
Yeah.
Did you see the interview? Did you see the documentary about O.J. Simpson on ESPN? It was Made in America. It was a 5-part series.
Yeah.
I was irate about the whole thing.
Planted evidence.
I was irate for several reasons. That whole, but the O.J. Simpson thing that he got off, that they did plan that. The whole thing just made me disgusting. I by no means are sympathetic towards O.J. Simpson.
No.
For the most part.
Yeah.
But that documentary, if you're interested at all, that was one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. Yeah. That Made in America, O.J. Simpson. It goes through all this so you understand the background, and then it gets to the very end, and they ask the former jurors.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the jurors was, you know, she was a little more tactful about what she said, but one of the jurors didn't care at all. And he goes, well, did you think O.J. was guilty or innocent? So what? What'd it matter? I mean, she just said it.
Yeah.
So what? So she basically all but said, I don't care.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He's not guilty because all this that they've done, because of all the, mm-hmm. I don't trust anything that they do.
Mark Furman getting up there lying through his teeth.
Anyway, they paid out all these settlements because these cops are in secret society, in secret gangs.
Of course they are.
President changes tone on mail-in voting in Florida.
Yeah, I saw the article, but I didn't read it.
Who is advice? I mean, what is he doing? I usually defend his tweets and defend things. This is such a bad look for him where he excoriates, Nevada for having mm-hmm. mail-in balloting, but then says Florida's voting is safe and secure.
I caught a little bit of it.
He needs to explain himself.
Yeah, exactly. Get up there and explain why you think it's safe.
Why is it safe in Florida, not safe in Nevada?
Right.
Or you better not say anything.
Yeah. Stay away from that mail-in voting.
Yeah, you know, you heard what Uncle Steve said. He's going to let my little girl do, if they have mail-in voting, he's going to let my little girl vote.
Yeah, exactly.
To show how secure it is.
Yeah.
If they ask him, well, how did you vote? I don't know. Ask Lauren.
Yeah, exactly.
Ask my little girl.
All of them.
Yeah.
And even the one that's not born.
New York City to impose COVID checkpoints to enforce quarantine order.
Yeah, they're going to clamp down. They're going to keep clamping down on us until we stand up.
I should get the exact line from the Declaration of Independence, but there's a, you know, human nature is to suffer while these things are sufferable.
Uh-huh.
At what point are they not sufferable anymore, ladies and gentlemen? This is what I've been trying to get across to you.
Yeah, and they're going to keep on pushing. If we take it, they're going to keep on and crush us.
Well, we know their plan. I mean, yeah. I mean, if you listen to this show, you know, yesterday the caller from Nebraska was great.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And Todd, I did not get, you said he emailed me her address. I didn't get it. Or you texted me. I didn't get it. Sure. So please call. We got to get your address. I definitely want to get a book out to her. Maybe she's listening today. Maybe she warmed up to us a little more.
Yeah, call in.
Yeah. Mayor Bill de Blasio, in a new authoritarian move, has announced that he'll set up COVID checkpoints around New York City in an attempt to catch anyone who flouts their 14-day quarantine. So what are they going to do? They got to give them papers? They got to identify themselves? How do they know they're under a 14-day quarantine order?
I don't know.
Anyone arrive? So they're going to stop people and make them identify themselves?
Yeah.
Nazi
Germany.
This is not only Nazi Germany. This is 1774, 73 Boston.
Mm-hmm.
You got to understand this. See, and that lets you say something else or understand something else about our founding fathers or our forefathers. You mentioned Nazi Germany, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when they did that Nazi Germany, what did the Germans do?
They gave them their papers.
Right, they didn't do nothing.
They didn't do nothing.
Do nothing. I mean, there were some who were trying and they were overwhelmed, whatever. I get that. Okay. What did our founding fathers do?
Pick up a gun.
Right. They picked up a gun. So what did they even more say about these people?
Yeah.
You know, you want to compare, well, complain about Nazi Germany. Okay. Nazi Germany was going on in the colonies. They were doing the same thing was going on.
Yeah.
And what did they do?
Different outcome.
Yeah. Different outcome.
That's right.
That's right. So I detest these people who disparage our founding fathers.
Me too.
I don't care what they did or didn't do, all this other stuff. What they did in the name of God was unbelievable.
Gave millions of people freedom.
Stay tuned. Crypto J on the other side.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
What in the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution, and it's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard Water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were drinking, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soil. So we see with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage I love to eat. Yum!
The Supreme Court violated their oath to the Constitution and laws of the United States. Find out how in this new book, The Electoral College for Patriots, by Town Crier. This anti-constitutional decision may get exploited to convert our country from a once great republic to just another democracy on the ash heap of history. Read The Electoral College for Patriots by Town Crier so you'll know who to blame for this travesty of the justices. Available online at theelectoralcollegeforpatriots.com and online wherever books are sold.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to the Power Hour. So good to be with you. ThePowerMall.com, of course, is a great place where you can get all the products. Yesterday, our new Nano Silver, Power Silver, great interview with Dennis about that. Check that out. That is available at the Power Mall, 877-817-9829. Also encourage you, if you're able and you can order online, we encourage you to order online. It makes it a little easier for us. Sometimes if you need to call, but, or if you want to, that's why we're there. But, if you can order online. It'll make it a little easier for us if you would. ThePowerMall.com. Our next guest is, has become I consider a good friend, and at least as we've been able to meet and talk, and we've really developed a kinship and resonated on certain levels. And he has a heart to help people. He's also very sharp. He's very connected, and he sees the world in a very interesting way. And we're very happy to have him on. We call him Crypto J. Crypto J, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Hey, buddy, thanks for having me. My pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Now, you were on, I don't know, it was about 2 weeks ago, and 2 weeks ago, Ethereum, which is one of the major cryptocurrencies, was about $240, $250 a coin, and today, this morning, it's almost at $11,500. These numbers may or may not mean things to you, ladies and gentlemen, but things are happening. Just for our audience, maybe if they didn't hear you before, kind of catch up how you got into this, why is this important, and what we're looking at in this unprecedented market.
Yeah, let's do that. But let me just ask you a quick question, because I'm just trying to remember. You know, I do a lot online every day. I'm in conferences. I've got, recordings all the time. And so I forget what I've talked about. Did we happen to talk about the fact that on your last show that the federally chartered banks – and thrifts may provide custody service to crypto assets. Did we talk about how big
that is? No, that happened. I think that happened like the day after you were on. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's cover that first, because I want people to understand how big this is. When you look at technology, let's take a look, for example, at Twitter as a new technology. Let's look at Facebook as a new technology. There is a point where technology hits what I call the S curve. And the S curve is typically when that technology is under mass adoption. You can go back and look at posts from Facebook and from Twitter where they were just absolutely moved and elated when they had 100 people using their service. And then they had 1,000 people using their service. And now today there's millions. They don't even talk about the new limestones that they hit. They don't even discuss them anymore because it's a moot point now. But the point is you have to start somewhere. Crypto started 10 years ago, and this piece of news right here will be what ushers in mass adoption. I mean, this is basically the OCC is telling every single bank, not just federally chartered banks. You see, federally chartered banks, they operate on the same level as the state bank. They're kind of the leader, and if they get it, the state bank gets it. So now what's happening is people are going to be able to, in a very short period of time, you probably can't do it right this minute, the next announcement you're going to see is it's going to be, for example, it'll be a headline that looks like this. Buy your cryptocurrency at Chase Manhattan Bank and store it at the bank. Buy your cryptocurrency at Bank of America and store it at the bank. Now, I'm not suggesting people do that. I'm suggesting people get an education and learn how to hold it, because if you don't hold it, you don't own it. But what I am saying is this is going to allow for every single age group the ability with ease, while cashing a check or doing anything of that nature at the bank, to buy and hold their crypto at the bank. To me, this is as big a piece of news as ever been released in the crypto space. And so I just want to make sure we covered it if we didn't last time. This is massive.
Well, let me comment on that. And we mentioned the article in the news on one of our shows, but I'm glad you put a big spin on, big perspective on this. And just for people who are listening on radio, we're doing this video by Skype, doing this interview. So we're recording this and we're seeing his screen. So the things he talks about, we will be able to see on the video. We'll put it up on YouTube. We'll put it up on our website. So I just wanted to tell people that. So you'll be able to see this article. What the banks just said is, yes, we can hold gold and silver in your safety deposit box. We can hold CDs. We can hold, you know, your money in the account. We can also now hold cryptos. If you have Bitcoin and you want to store it at our bank, we will store your Bitcoin. He put it in perspective, but I don't even think I realize the magnitude of that and what that's going to mean, you know, whenever they do this, a year, 2 years from now, when people, this is an everyday occurrence, and what that means for the market. And right now, what is it, JR? The whole crypto market is about $350 billion, maybe a little under $350 billion?
Correct.
What is the gold and silver market right now on the Wall Street? Do you know how many trillions it is?
I don't, but it's certainly gone up a lot.
Yeah. What about the stock market? What is it? What's the stock market? 100 trillion? What is it?
Markets that I do not follow, so I can't give you that up-to-date information.
It's in the trillions, correct?
It is in the trillions, yes. Absolutely.
Many trillions.
Yeah, you know, before gold started going up big, it was a $30 trillion marketplace. So, you know, if you could ever get even crypto to, since you're asking about that, let me say something to you from this regard. Let me go to a little thing that I've got here. The Bitcoin, listen to this now, the Bitcoin network, it currently runs at 120 quintillion transactions per second. It's the biggest distributed computer network ever in the world, which means it's distributed on computers and nodes all over the world. Now, let's put that in perspective. Add up every grain of sand on every beach on planet Earth, and you come up with, they tell us, 7 quintillion grains of sand. And I just said to you the Bitcoin network is 120 quintillion. It's just a matter of time when you have an asset class that is unconfiscatable, it's indestructible, it's immutable, it's uncensorable. There will be no attack vector from any government because they can't afford it. It's got an algorithm built in it that if you come to try to attack it, all these numbers I just gave you, they go up times 10 automatically. I mean, this particular phenomenon of, I'm not going to call it currency yet, but let's call it a store of value, let's call it money, we certainly know it's an asset class, as it unrolls to the public, and this announcement we're talking about is literally it unrolling to the public. In the last, I counted recently, and in the last 30 days, there's been about 70 pieces of news that came out about cryptocurrency and how good it's going to be you know, I'm talking about even down to J.P. Morgan coming out and saying, you know, we've changed our stance on crypto and we now think it's a good thing. You know, so stuff like this, I mean, they're doing what they can do to spark the interest because they're ready for it to go up now. It's been in a bear market for 30 months. I've told people, and I'll say this again here on your show, when crypto tops $1 trillion market cap, which we got very close in 2017, crypto will go to $2 trillion overnight. It would have taken it 11 or 12 years to get to $1 trillion, and it'll go to $2 trillion literally probably within 30 or 45 days. It'll be that fast.
Give us a little, again, now let's go back to the original question. Give us a little background on your experiences with crypto, just an overall what you've been told, your connections, and just what this market means. You know, pretend, you know, Grandma Jones is sitting at home thinking you're probably talking a little over her head, but just break this down. What does this mean? What does this whole market and environment look like, and why is it important for her to know this?
Well, I think it's important to leave a picture in people's minds, and that picture that I want to leave in people's mind is even Grandma today has a cell phone where she texts. Even Grandma today uses FaceTime. Even Grandma today sends a picture back and forth. I mean, think about that. I mean, we're talking about this is, you can kind of equate this almost like, you know, it's like if let's just say, for example, that the Roswell case was real and there was a UFO plopped on planet Earth, right? This is the same thing. You've got basically the technology on your cell phone today is greater than what the president had 20 years ago. That's like taking your cell phone and handing it and putting it in a cage of chimpanzees and going, hey, see what you can do. It's the same kind of analogy. And what's taking place is everything is going digital and money is last. And so everything in our life has gone digital. Our music, our movies. You can now watch the latest, greatest, supposed to be movie in the movie theater on Amazon. It's not coming out in the theater. It's coming out on Amazon. Wonder why Amazon just bought one of the largest movie houses on the planet. Okay, so they're making their plans, but everything is going digital, and that's the picture people need to have, is money is going to be no different. It's going to be digital, 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 everything digital. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that's good, by the way. I'm just saying it is what it is, and that's probably the most important thing that a listener today could take away from this is, listen, whether you like it or not, whether you think it's the mark of the beast or not, doesn't matter. None of that matters. What matters is you have an opportunity today to make your life better in a new digital world. That's what matters, and that's what I try to help people with. I'm not trying to solve the problem of the mark of the beast. We're going to leave that one to God. I'm not trying to solve the problems of how they're going to enslave humanity. I'm trying to help people have a better world once this transition is over. And I think the transition is literally right now for the next 7 to 10 years is the prime time of as you see everything switch over to a new digital system.
Would it be hyperbole to say that the biggest wealth transfer in the history of recorded planet Earth is about to occur? Would that be hyperbole?
Taking place right now. I agree with that statement 100%.
What is a Bitcoin? What is it?
Well, a Bitcoin is a unit of value that's broken into a million pieces. And so it's obviously not a coin. It's something that's put together digitally. It's an algorithm designed where you can't, like I said, you can't confiscate it. You can't take it. Like, you can take a gold coin. A gold coin can come up missing. A Bitcoin, to date, has not come up missing on the blockchain. There have been people who were careless, and they left the keys to their wallet available to people, and you can get a Bitcoin. It can go missing. But if you are taking care of your keys, this is unconfiscatable money. Your gold can be taken at gunpoint anytime. And you say, well, yeah, but so could your crypto. No, it can't. You can tell people, I'm not giving you my crypto. You can shoot me, but that's the last chance you'll ever have of getting my crypto because I know where the keys are and I'm the only one. So now if they take your life, they never get your crypto. It's unconfiscatable. And that's by any party, I might add. Any party. Unconfiscatable. Is that a good answer? Is that kind of more what you're looking for?
I think so. Yeah. So people, you know, it's just so You know, when they think of coins, of course, they think gold and silver. So we think, well, this is a digital coin. You know, it just blows people's mind. Me, originally, when I looked at this, what do you mean it's a coin? What is it? What is this? That's the kind of thoughts that went through my head. So
let me give you another statement that was given by Paul Tudor Jones, who is the first kind of major whale in the hedge fund space to go public with this. Let me tell you a statement he made about Bitcoin after he bought, by the way, 2% of his wealth, they figure is a little over $500 million that he put into crypto, by the way, back in June, July. Now we're in August, everything's breaking out. Isn't that interesting? He says, it is the only large tradable asset in the world that has a known fixed maximum supply. So he says that, Paul says, on Bitcoin scarcity, which I think is absolute paramount to understand. There is only so much Bitcoin, and every 210,000 blocks that go by on the blockchain, that scarcity gets cut in half. Unlike what you're seeing now, which is more Marxist monetary theory, go back to the end of the Roman Empire, you're seeing that same thing happen today with dollars, but yet the opposite is taking place in cryptocurrency and in Bitcoin and in Ethereum.
What is the attitude on Wall Street or the people you talk? You're pretty connected, or you rub elbows with some very connected people in banking, Wall Street. What is their attitude about cryptos? What are they telling you?
Well, you know, for the better part of 2 years, that attitude has been very, very private. Nobody's willing to say anything publicly. They're all a part of the game. They all know what's taking place, and they just haven't been willing to talk about it. But in essence, over the last 60 days, everybody and their brother, like I say, including JP Morgan, is coming out and going, oh yeah, no, we were wrong about Bitcoin. It's not a scam. We were wrong about crypto. It's not a scam. In fact, many of them are now releasing partnerships and all the different joint ventures they've done over the last 2 years, and it's all now coming out in the news. We love crypto. This is awesome. And the reason why, guys, is because they're ready for the next run. For those of you that actually take the time to look this up on YouTube and take a look at this, one of the things I'm going to show you on a chart right here, which people listening won't be able to see this until they go look, but this is the history of Bitcoin. We do have one chart that goes a little lower, but this started at 0.00008. Okay, we're talking about $200 buys you 10,000 Bitcoin way back in 2010. And today, after all that time, Bitcoin is still in a bull market. It has never left its bull market. It's had bearish times where the price pulled back. And, you know, when you have a major expansion, you have to have a contraction. And that contraction usually is just as major. And that's why they call it volatile. That's why they call it the most volatile asset on the planet. But that volatility can be your friend if you're not a trader. I am not a trader. I have spent, if you're looking at the chart, I have spent this amount of time, about 2 years right here, during all these price points on Bitcoin and all the rest of the cryptos, collecting my positions. Now we are way, way, way up into the profit. In fact, let me just take 2 minutes and run through this, okay? I had people buying Ethereum. We started buying Ethereum back under $100. So that was back here in 2018. We then again, over here, when Bitcoin dropped down to close to $100, we're adding to our position. Everything under this line, and that line is $294, is a bargain on Ethereum. And then again, we got a chance to buy it again down here for under $100 at the crash for Corona. Now today, the price is $400 and climbing. But more importantly, this line, the reason it's so important, this was a breakout line in 2017 where Ethereum went from $300 to $1,420 in just a matter of a few months. We are now, for the first time in almost 3 years, going above that line again. I think that brings into sight prices in the $4,000, $5,000, and $6,000 on Ethereum. Not tomorrow, not next week, but it takes a little bit of time for this to develop. But you have to pass some key significant levels before that starts. And it feels to me like that's starting. In addition, Here's Cardano. We've had our group of folks that I work with privately now.
Hey, let me pause right there. You mentioned the thing. Yeah, I've mentioned to the audience, they understand, or at least they've heard, Bitcoin and Ethereum. I'd say that's kind of like the blue chip of cryptocurrencies. It's like IBM and McDonald's. And then so when you mention something else like Cardano or Digibyte or whatever, explain the variety of coins. Why are there so many different coins? And then a little bit about Cardano before you talk about it.
Okay. So as we move to Cardano, Cardano was created by the co-founder to Ethereum. So the co-founder of Ethereum looked at Ethereum and said, gee, for Ethereum to actually pull off all the technology that it's saying it has, they've got to do hard forks. They've got a lot of work out in front of them. So what he did was he said, I'm going to create an actual coin, and in creating that coin, I'm going to take away all the problems. This is going to be Ethereum is a smart contract platform. It basically gets rid of lawyers and bankers if you want it to. So meaning you can do business cross borders with a contract, a smart contract written by a programmer that protects both parties. And if the smart contract is proven, you don't need a lawyer or a banker to execute. In fact, the United States government today is selling bonds on contracts with Ethereum. So what he did was he created this coin and he said, I'm going to make this without all the problems that Ethereum has. Now, go back in time. There was a time when you could buy Ethereum for 2 cents, 10 cents, 15 cents. Okay? Today, we've been buying Cardano now for 2 years. Every time it drops under 3 cents, we've been collecting it. Most of us, our positions is averaged in around 2 cents. Today, just 2 days ago, the price hit 17 cents. That is a 800% gain, and most of this is from our collective position over 2 years. But that we are just getting started. I tell people, if you can be patient during a bear market for 32 months, then be even more patient once the market starts to go up. Because now's not the time to go, oh my gosh, I'm up 800%. I'm taking my profit and get out. Now, there's nothing wrong with that because nobody goes broke taking a profit. But if you're an investor and you're really in this game as an investor and you've put money in the market that you can afford to lose, meaning you don't have to have it in your life, you need to be holding on because we have targets on this that go to $4 and $5 up here on the chart. When you're looking at this on YouTube, you'll see it on the chart. In addition to that, here's one I talked about with you when I first met you. We talked about a coin called Chainlink. And I said, man, you've got to get some Chainlink. What did you buy your Chainlink? Did you ever get any Chainlink or anybody you know get Chainlink?
Yeah, absolutely. My cousin certainly did. Some people, some listeners on the show did also.
Okay,
absolutely.
Most people should have gotten that probably in the $1.50 to $1.70 range. And if they did, today we're pushing on $10. And our first real target on Chainlink is about $27. And so, that's quite the achievement to take place over just a few short months. And I'm going to talk about one more that I've put out recently. And the reason I'm doing this is I just want people to understand when they send me an email off your show and then they say, hey, how can I get started? I tell people, listen, I have 1,200 educational posts in a platform called Patreon. It's $77 a month. I used to do a service back when I was doing Forex. I charged $400 a month and I was a waiting list to get in. I have a waiting list to get in on my Patreon today at $77. But I cover all this. Every single trade that I ever get into, I don't tell other people they should get into it. I just tell them what I'm doing. If they want to follow me around the block, no problem. I don't hold a Series 3 or a Series 7 license anymore, so I do not give that kind of advice. But every trade I make, I tell them why I'm making it, all the background on it, everything I'm doing. I tell them where I'm looking for my targets to get out. When I'm getting out, I tell them I'm getting out here. So these are actual real trades that people are in right now, and that's kind of why I thought it was important to share. Chainlink is actually the protocol that will be used in what's called the decentralized finance network. So the DeFi network that's being built all over planet Earth right now by about 20 plus different corporations, and this will be the protocol used to link all them together. That's why the name of it is Link. So like Ethereum is the protocol for all smart contracts, Link is going to be that company. I mean, they have partnerships with IBM, Google, Apple, you name it, okay? The federal government. And so that, I'm just giving you a little example of what it is and why it's growing the way it's growing. I mean, I didn't get involved in it down here when it was 22 cents. The first time I ever bought it was $1.50. Okay. But again, this is one that's just kind of going nuts. And then the last one I want to take you guys through real quick is one we put out on March the 13th. It's called VID, V-I-D-T. And if you're looking at your video on YouTube later, you'll see that there are 6,093 cryptocurrencies today. This particular one is ranked number 193. And you'll see down here that it kind of tells you exactly what they do. But look right here. IBM again. There's IBM again. IBM is in this space as big as it gets. You asked me earlier what my friends on Wall Street are talking about. They're talking about the fact that the largest corporations on planet Earth are either privately involved in crypto or already well involved in crypto, some of them even publicly. I mean, Microsoft has now applied for 5 new blockchain patents in the last 2 months. They already have a coin called Syscoin, S-Y-S, Syscoin. That is Microsoft's coin from 4 years ago.
Okay. There's the music. Hang on a second, Jay.
No worries.
There's the music. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, more with Crypto Jay on the other side. You're listening to the Power Hour. Stay tuned.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Hi, it's George.